looked a little down in attendance this morning, but you couldn't tell it as far as the spirit in here. Amen. It's a good time of praise and worship, and it's always a joy to get in the Word and bring God's message to you. But we continue on as we finish the parabolizing of the Gospel of Mark. We're getting close to finishing this great chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the resurrection. Amen. On our resurrected bodies. So that is kind of coming to a conclusion. I think we're going to have at least one more, probably just one more Bible study over 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when we roll on out of verse 50 and we get to verse 51. A lot of what's contained in verse 51 all the way through to about verse 54, we've already covered that. He's kind of like just summarizing verses 51 through 54. But I think we will deal with verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Amen? I think we'll deal with that next time we get together. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'll deal with that. And then verse 58, we'll close it out with that as we Bible study on. But we need to talk about, just right quick, I know we've got a lot of graduations and a lot of people getting ready to travel and do different things. Is most folks going to be here Sunday p.m., June the 5th? You won't be here. What about you, Brother Roger? All right. What about you, Brother Carr? All right. What about you, Brother? All right. Sunday, June 5 p.m. service, we will partake of the Lord's Supper, okay? That's time of the quarter to do it. We're going to get it right there at that first part of the quarter, okay? So I think the last time we did it was right before revival in March. So we've had all of March, April, May, and then boom, here we are about to be in. Can you believe it? June is almost upon us. It's almost upon us. Amen. It's great. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin reading here in verse 35. I know we've read this passage a bunch, but it goes with what we're covering, verses 45 through 49. So let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll pick it up at verse 35. We'll take it all the way through 50. We'll just go all the way through 50 with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 35. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
But some man will say, 1 Corinthians 15, 35, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And we pick it up this evening, verses 45 through 50, what we'll look at tonight. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen to that?
Amen.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the crowd you've assembled here tonight, your church. And Lord, I pray that you would rest us, comfort us, still our inner spirits, Lord. Let us just receive your word tonight. Father, we pray the word would wash us, encourage us, convict us where we need to be convicted. And Lord, help us be more into the image of Jesus tonight. Lord, may we be infused with energy and good rest tonight. And Lord, just encouragement as we face the new week. Lord, I pray that you would help us seize those divine appointments. Be on mission for you. May we share the hope that we have, this hope that we find in a resurrection. In your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Now, Paul's been answering what? He's been answering this this question of verse 35. Two questions, basically, which these questions reveal some really bad theology on the part of the folks in Corinth, the church at Corinth. These questions have to do with the objection to and the doubt of a general resurrection. I mean, they're just struggling with it. How could God possibly reassemble the bodies of everyone who has died throughout the ages of history? And that doubt, that question, is followed by another question or doubt. What kind of body are the resurrected to have? Well, the Bible speaks at length in this chapter about what kind of bodies we're to have. Amen? I'll say it at the end, but I want to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We get an idea of what we're going to be one day. We get an idea, but it pales. It pales in comparison to what we are going to be. I mean, it pales in comparison, friend. We receive it by faith. We believe it in faith. Well, one day, physical eyes, or what's the word? Glorified eyes, or resurrected body eyes, are going to see it. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. Amen? How could God possibly do it? Well, Paul began way back in verse 36. We read that passage again this evening. Paul began way back in verse 36 of 1 Corinthians 15 to answer these questions, these two questions, four ways. The first one was from nature. It illustrates this resurrection. There's got to be a dying. There is a difference. And we talked about the continuity, verse 38. And then the second answer Paul approached these two questions was with the unique form of the body to be resurrected. It's going to be unique in its own right. From the first analogy that life comes forth out of death, Paul moves to the second analogy, and that is the dissimilarity of flesh. Right? Your resurrected body is going to be something else. Man is kind of set apart. God's special creation. We're not like the fish. Fish are good to eat, right? Right? I mean, it's just good to eat. Deer are good to eat, right? Venison, that's great, right? But, you know, we don't try to educate venison. We don't treat venison like kids. We treat them like food, amen? Right? And we treat our own humanity the way humanity ought to be treated, good, amen? And kindly and gentle and all those things, right? So the dissimilarity of flesh. And then the third approach Paul took was the difference between the earthly and the glorified. That was the second half of verse 42 all the way through verse 44. The first contrast deals with durability. The second contrast has to do with value and potential. The third contrast has to do with ability. And then the fourth contrast we covered last Sunday night had to do with the realm of existence. And as we get into this almost last Bible study on this great chapter, this very lengthy chapter, the most lengthy chapter in all the Word of God on the resurrection, we talk about this evening the prototype of the resurrection, the prototype of the resurrection, verses 45 through 49. The fourth way in which Paul answers the question, how are the dead raised and with what kind of body do they come, pointing all the way back to verse 35, is by showing the prototype of the resurrection. Who's the prototype of the resurrection? Jesus, amen? Jesus Christ is the prototype of the resurrection. And by further explaining the difference between natural and spiritual bodies. He gets back into that a little bit as we close out 45 through 49. First of all, what does Paul do? Paul goes all the way back to the book of beginnings. So take your Bibles, put a finger in 1 Corinthians 15, and go all the way back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2. Paul begins with a quotation from Genesis 2, verse 7, and verse 45. Now I'll read you verse 45 as you're turning to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. All right, that's right out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Everybody, Genesis 2, 7? Or somewhere about? Almost there? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul. There it is. Adam was created with a natural body. Body didn't know sin yet, right? No sin when he was created. Everything was good. Adam's body was not glorified, but Adam's body was perfect. Amen? Perfect without sin. It was perfect and good in every way. Sin had not entered that body yet. All right? Keep up with that. If you'll go back a little bit further, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Genesis 1, 31. The Word of God reads this, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just somewhat good, not just a little bit good. Very good. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen, church? See, Adam and Eve, wrap your head around this. Think about it if you've never thought about it. Adam and Eve originally were in, you know, when you get hired on and they hold your full pay and they hold your benefits for a while, they're seeing before they send all that paperwork off to the insurance, right? Before they get on and get on up with the profit sharing and everything else, before they go through all that, that's a lot of paperwork. Before they do all of that, they want to make sure you're going to show up on time, right? They're wanting to see in the first 90 days or the first 6 months, how many sick days this old guy going to call in on, right? They want to know if he's going to cut out early, if he's going to stay and do the stuff. They call it a probationary period, amen? Well, Adam and Eve originally were in kind of a probationary period. Had they proved faithful rather than disobedient? Had they proved faithful? Have they proved faithful rather than disobedient? Their bodies would have been glorified and immortalized right there in the Garden of Eden. Say, well, Pastor, how in the world was that going to happen? When they would have been, if they were faithful, when they would have been instructed and allowed to eat of the tree of life. Amen? Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, he told them, don't touch that tree. Don't look at it. Stay away from the tree of good and evil. That's what Satan tempted them with, right? If they would remain faithful, they would have got to eat of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. They remained faithful. Man, they didn't grow up like my kids. They created in the Garden of Eden as an adult. They got some what? Some learning to do, right? Some development to do, right? Sin hadn't entered the world, but they still got to what? They still got to be tested, they got to be tried, and all of those things. If they would have been faithful, they would have got that tree. If they would have been faithful, they would have got this tree. When you go to glory one day, when we're in the heavenly realm, when we're there in the new city, when we see it all, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see the tree of life. And you'll be able to touch that tree and eat of that tree and marvel at that tree. Amen? I don't know how big that tree is. Got to be a big tree. Got to be a big tree. It's been growing a long time. It's got to be some kind of tree. Well, we know the story. They didn't remain faithful, did they, Pastor? No, church. They did not remain faithful. They sinned, did they not? They sinned. Therefore, they were put out of the garden lest they eat. Listen, they were put out of the garden. That was an act of grace for them. They were put out of the garden lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in a state of sin. You know, yeah, I mean, think about it. At your best, you still don't make heaven. You know what? At your best, you don't make heaven. On your best day, the least amount of sin day that you ever have, the least amount of sin week that you, the least amount of sin month, if there's a year that you carve out from the time you were saved to the time you die, that year, that month, that week, that day, whatever is not good enough to get you there. But think about all the times when you struggle with sin. Oh, mercy. Well, it's a gracious thing to only have to wrestle with that 70, 80, 60, 90, whatever X amount of years God gives us. That's a thing of grace. Can you imagine living this selfish and living this sinful and living this me, and it's all about and worshiping me and having to constantly battle? Can you imagine living with that? Being stuck perpetually in that? Oh, my soul. God showed grace by kicking them out of the Garden of Eden. Amen? Get on out of the Garden of Eden, right? He chunked them out, sent them away. They would have eternally been in a state of sin. Now, if we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, and you can read that if you would like, but Genesis 3:22 approaches their living tree fruit eating from a different perspective. But when we look at all the theology surrounding what was going on and what was happening, we can make the point of eternally being in a state of sin. So as we fast forward out of Genesis all the way back to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verses 45 through 49. If we look at verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. What is the last half of verse 45 saying to us? What's the last half of verse 45 saying to us? It's saying to us this. If Adam was the prototype of our natural bodies, then by jingo, Christ is the prototype of our spiritual bodies. Amen? If Adam was the prototype of what we're dealing with now, then my goodness, Jesus Christ is the prototype of our spiritual bodies. He's the first. He is the almost, he's it. Amen? The prototype. Just as we will exchange Adam's natural body for Christ's spiritual body, we will also exchange Adam's image for Christ's image. Paul gives us a final comparison between the two Adams. Howbeit, that was not, verse 46, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Paul gives us a final comparison between the two Adams. The first man produced a natural race on the earth. In fact, the first man was made from the earth. Right? I mean, God just took some dirt and breathed into it. Call that man, right? That's a powerful God, isn't it? I think that's what these bodies turn back to, don't they? You can, whatever you want to do to them, once life is taken out of them, they go back to that eventually, right? Go back to dust, right? The second man produced and is still producing a spiritual race. Praise God. Hopefully you're part of that spiritual race. If you're not, you need to be. Amen. I encourage you, nominate you, challenge you, whatever I need to do for you to step into the spiritual race, right? And this man, he existed eternally before he became a man. So the Lord lived on earth in a natural body, but he came from heaven. Adam was tied to earth. Christ was tied to heaven. In Adam, we are earthy. I like that, how the King James Version says that. Earthy. In Adam, we are earthy. In Christ, we have become heavenly. Amen? We have become heavenly. One day, our natural bodies from Adam will be changed into our heavenly bodies from Christ. And oh, what glorious day that will be. Amen? When the bodies are changed. Just as we will exchange Adam's natural body for Christ's spiritual body, we will exchange Adam's image for Jesus Christ's image. From Christ's post-resurrection appearances, as we close out our Bible study this evening, we get some idea of the greatness, we get a clue of the power, and we get a little bit taste of the wonder of what our own resurrection bodies will be like. If you'll recall in the Gospels, when it talks about Jesus' post-resurrection experiences and how he moved around, Jesus appeared and he disappeared at will, did he not? Amen? Appeared and disappeared at will, reappearing again at another place at some far distance. I mean, just like that. Jesus could go through walls. He could go through closed doors. And yet, also, Jesus could eat. He could drink. He could sit. He could talk and be seen by those he wanted to see him. Amen? That's awesome. Jesus was remarkably the same, yet even more remarkably different. That's what's coming for you. After Jesus' ascension, the angel told the amazed disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Well, Pastor, what's the point of Acts chapter 1, verse 11? The point is this: the body the disciples saw after Jesus' resurrection, that body that ascended up into the heavens, that's going to be the same body that will be seen when he returns again. Amen. Amen. The same body. See, our bodies, which have hindered us all these years, have hindered our service. These bodies, which have hindered manifestation of God, these bodies that have just tripped us up with this sin stuff, oh, these bodies, they're going to change. These bodies, instead of hindering us, these bodies are going to be the instruments. They're going to be the instruments they were created to be. They're going to be incredible channels of God's manifestation. Marvelous channels of God's gracious fulfillment. Amen? We are going to be blown away by what God does through our glorified bodies. We will have His own power in which to serve and praise Him. We will not be God. We will not be Jesus, but we will be sons and daughters. Amen? We will have His own power in which to serve and praise Him, and His glory by which to manifest and magnify Him. Be reminded of what the gospel writer writes in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Matthew writing to the Jewish population, he says, "Then shall the righteous," this is what he says in 13:43, "then shall the righteous shine forth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Amen? And then this gospel saying, I love it. I can't get away from it. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen? Let him hear, brother. In heaven we will radiate like the sun in the blazing and magnificent glory which the Lord will graciously share with those who are His. Amen. Won't that be great? That's going to be awesome. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 reads, it speaks of Christ. Philippians 3, 21, Paul writing to the church of Philippi, "Who shall change our vile body?" Who shall change our vile body? You know, Paul had the right perspective. Who shall change our vile body? That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. See, we get an idea from Scripture that what our bodies will be. However, when we take 1 Corinthians 15 when we take the different snippets and passages throughout the New Testament and even some in the Old Testament, when we take all those and we put them all together, I still think it pales. It pales. We get an idea. Praise God for that. We get something to look forward to, but it's not going to... It's going to be fulfilling, man. It's going to be awesome. The idea pales in comparison to our future reality. Amen? The coming resurrection is the hope. The coming resurrection is the motivation of the church and of all believers. You show me a church where they don't talk about the resurrection. Show me a people of God who aren't looking forward to that. I'll show you a people that aren't very motivated. They're just kind of going through the motions. Friend, we got something to look forward to. Amen. We're just passing through this place, right? We're here to serve Him and to do His bidding and to wrestle with this old sinful flesh, but one day the wrestling will be over. Amen. It will be over. Whatever happens to our present bodies, whether they are healthy or sometimes unhealthy, whether our bodies are beautiful or whether they're like Pastor Steve's, just kind of plain. Amen. One of my daughters, I won't say her name, but she was looking at my legs the other night as I was tucking in another daughter. She said, "Daddy, your legs sure are skinny." So, and you're not the first one to tell me that. You're not the first one to, but I come by that honest. She goes, "How?" I go, "Your daddy's got more Indian in him than you know." I go, "My grandmother was half Indian and French. And my other grandmother was half Indian on that side. So even though I don't have the dark complexion, I got a lot of how are you in me, amen? A lot of Indian. So I have the thin wrist, I have the skinny little legs and the narrow face, right? All wrapped up in a white Caucasian skin, amen? That's me, right? So some of you may be beautiful. Some of you may be a Heinz 57 like me. Amen. Just plain, right? But I want to tell you, one day it's going to be different for us. Amen? Sometimes our bodies are short-lived. Think about some of the folks that have gone on to be with the Lord. You thought, man, I cannot believe God's called them home. What a short-lived life. Some of these folks have long-lived lives, short-lived or long-lived, or whether these lives are indulged, you know? I mean, that person's just had all the blessings and the trappings of life. Sometimes these bodies are tortured. We think about Miss Margie Moore and just the great pain she goes through each and every day. Sometimes these bodies are indulged. Sometimes they're tortured. These bodies here are not our permanent bodies. Not our permanent bodies, and we should not hold them too dearly. Because, friend, you're going to get some new digs one day. So our blessed hope and assurance is that these created natural bodies one day will be recreated as spiritual bodies. And although we have only a glimpse of what those new bodies will be like, the truth of the matter should satisfy us, should encourage us, and should motivate us that one day we shall be like Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening. We praise You and we thank You for what You're doing in us. As we said this morning, as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we have a beautiful, incredible, final destination to look forward to in the presence of our Heavenly Father, in the presence of our wonderful Lord and Savior, and with a body just like His resurrected body, a glorified body. We look so forward to it, Lord. Father God, we pray for those that are struggling physically, for those that are struggling emotionally, for those that are struggling spiritually. We're just passing through. Help us as we struggle. Lord, help us know that You're the answer, You're the source, You're our power for living. And may we continue to cling to you and look forward, doing our best, giving our all, serving you, and attempting to bring glory and honor to your name. It's all worth it in the end. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, let's take some praises and testimonies this evening. Yes, sir.